Hey everybody, it is time. It is time to hop on a plane, a train, a boat, a goat, a bike, a car, and find your way upstate New York to a little town outside of Phoenicia. I don't know what the town's called actually, but the place that we're going to be in is called Menla, and it is a gorgeous, epic retreat center in the middle of the forest in the Catskill Mountains with a spa and organic vegetarian food with lots of beans and yoga in the morning and a swimming pool and a swimming hole and trails. And yes, it is an HLN retreat. It is a 5-day retreat from Wednesday, June 12th to Sunday, June 16th. It is the biggest retreat we've ever put on, and the entire team is going to be there. They are all flying from different corners of the country to come together to hold you in the healing magic that is Somatics. We will be teaching you how to belong without having to fit in, how to find safety inside of yourself and share that with others, how to receive witnessing, how to feel for your boundaries instead of fawning. We are going to cover so much, and you're going to be doing it in the most ideal setting of being fed, of being loved, of resting, of enjoying the forest and nature, and being with us and 60 other bodies. So please go to the website, holisticlifenavigation.com, and click on events, and you'll find it there. Wednesday, June 12th to Sunday, June 16th. All the info as well can be found directly through the link in this episode details. I am just so thrilled for this, and I can't wait to see some of you in person. Hey friends, before we begin the episode, I want to remind you that my next 6-week course begins on February 21st. Registration opens on January 19th and closes 1 week afterwards. I will be hosting a free webinar on Wednesday, January 19th with a Q&A to describe the course and answer any questions you might have. For more information, visit holisticlifenavigation.com. Now let's get back to the episode. Welcome to the Holistic Life Navigation Podcast. I am your host, Luis Mojica. I was sick and depressed until I discovered that I could make music, and then my whole life transformed because I began learning how to listen more deeply. Listen to life, to the people around me, and to my body. And that's when I realized that the body speaks through sensations, and learning this new language meant relearning my body and mind. I soon healed myself of many chronic conditions and then began teaching others how to do so as well. Holistic Life Navigation combines nutrition, self-inquiry, and somatic experiencing to help you release stress and trauma just by listening to your own body. This podcast serves as a place to share my experiences, as well as the experiences of many others who have healed and are healing through unique, unorthodox, and unusual ways. Your time to learn begins now. What we call depression can actually be a much-needed rest. Depression is often a response to overwhelm. Too much energy and not enough time or space to digest it all. So the body shuts down. It organizes itself physically and hormonally to stop taking in information. The key word here is it, or he, she, they, however you view your body. My intention here is to highlight that this shutdown that we call depression isn't us. It's nothing we're doing, and no one would ever choose to be depressed. However, it is something the body does without our consent when it's overwhelmed. And though we typically see this as a problem, it's really an intelligent response to too much stimulus, too much charge. Whether that charge comes from grief, ecstasy, pain, or anxiety, it's too much for the body. We see it as a problem because it doesn't fit into our culture of productivity. Our social structures don't tend to include spontaneity and rest. Instead, we expect ourselves and others to endlessly perform. When we can't perform, we see ourselves as broken.
Yet we know that the sun's rest is what keeps us all alive, otherwise our earth would burn up. Even if you cannot change the structure you're living in, you can change how you listen and relate to your body when it's depressed. Shaming it, comparing it, or resisting it probably won't feel good. Relating to it is how we learn from it and release it and move through it. What it needs, what it's responding to, and how to tend to it the best we can. I'm speaking about depression as a physical somatic experience, not through a clinical psychological lens. I really understand depression as a heaviness in the system because there's just too much information and it hasn't gone anywhere. So in a way, it's the body having a boundary, saying, I'm going to slow this down. I'm going to slow you down. I'm going to stop the taking in of information. Now, when I say relating to the body is how we heal, what does that mean? First, we want to understand the body is its own creature. It's a sovereign being. It grows its own hair, digests its own food, transforms a blueberry into certain nutrients that feed our bodies. It does so many things without our awareness, without our consent, and without our choice, right? So if we can start to understand trauma and emotions the same way we can understand digestion, we can see that these two are beings that move through us. They are not us, and we do not choose them or create them ourselves. Sometimes they're created by our thoughts, but are our thoughts even us? How many of you listening here can actually control your thoughts? You might notice a thought and not attach to it, but are you really thinking or are you being thought? Why this is so important to me is it helps us destigmatize our states of being. We are very complex, politically incorrect creatures by nature. And it's hard for us to sometimes sit with the parts that come up on their own, that come through us, specifically the parts that we don't celebrate. Depression, angst, anxiety, jealousy, taboo desires even, fantasies, things that we shouldn't feel or think. What if we started relating to these things? Instead of saying, I don't like that, or that's a problem, or that needs to go away, what if we sat with it? So what would that look like with depression? One thing I've learned over the years with my work is that depression is often met with stimulus. So I might wake up feeling depressed, and I might not be aware of this, by the way. This could be purely somatic. I'm not calling it depression. It's just a physical, unconscious state. And I move to the caffeine. My body moves me, I should say, to pour the cup of coffee or eat the chocolate bar or drink the yerba mate or green tea, right? My body moves me to go right to work and skip breakfast to create adrenaline. Any kind of stimulus like skipping a meal or ingesting caffeine will stimulate us out of depression because we become adrenalized. So we feel alive. We have clarity. We have a hyper-awareness, a hyper-vigilance that we didn't have when we were depressed. And for a lot of us, that actually feels much safer than the somatic experience of depression. The somatic experience of depression is quite vulnerable and hazy. And again, there's a physical weakness, not a judgment, but a physical weakness in the body, not being able to do much. And for some of us, that can be overcoupled with threat, depending on what we've experienced through the years or the judgment we've experienced from being in those states. So we intuitively, somatically, automatically are led to a situation or a behavior or a food or substance that stimulates us. What this does is it's essentially oppressing an emotion that wants to come through, isn't it? A state of being of depression that wants to be here, that's here for a good reason in response to something, It oppresses that. It bypasses it. It represses it. So the depression doesn't transform into joy because I drank a cup of coffee. The depression is just being bypassed by adrenaline. And guess what? When that adrenaline and the substance metabolizes, then I'm left with the depression again. So one thing that I find important here is when I say we want to relate to these parts, we want to do the opposite of what I just said, which is essentially coping with these parts, ignoring these parts, soothing these parts. Instead of that, we want to relate to them. That takes a practice of embodiment, which means first having the capacity to sensationally experience depression, feeling the heaviness, feeling the exhaustion, with a sense of curiosity, not judgment, not projection or expectation of what that means for you, but with a curiosity of, where is this in my body? And what does it want my body to do? Now, if I think of the few times I've been depressed, I'm very lucky. I went through a period in my life where I was horribly depressed for years. And then since then, I really haven't experienced depression for more than maybe an hour or two, a couple times in my life. I experience other things, but depression isn't my body's go-to anymore. Hasn't been for, I don't know, 17 years maybe. But I remember it. And I can recall times where I felt it creeping in. And for me, there's a heaviness and a desire just to lay my head down and close my eyes. And when I feel that depression come in now, I don't even call it depression anymore. I don't give it that title. I notice the sensations. So instead of saying I'm depressed because what she said or what he did or because this happened, I just think my body feels really tired. My head feels heavy. My eyes really want to close. And I follow what my body's trying to organize itself into doing. Every sensation is the beginning of an organized movement, right? Or it's the beginning of organizing into a movement. So if my eyes are feeling heavy, my neck and shoulders and arms feel heavy, and I feel really tired, where do I go with that? My body's organizing into a collapse. It's organizing into laying down in bed or laying out in the sun or sitting up with my head against the wall. It wants to be supported. My physical body just wants to experience support. Without an embodiment practice, I might intellectualize that as no one supports me. I might notice the absence of support, focus on the absence of support, and then feel more depression. However, when I notice my body just wants to be supported, and here's a bed and I lay in it, that act of listening to the depression, following those sensations and seeing how they wanted to move my body, and then allowing them to do so, within 10, 15 minutes, or maybe an hour if I fall asleep and take a nap, I arise and that thing that we call depression is gone. It has left the building because I'm no longer oppressing it, bypassing it, or judging it. I'm relating to it. I'm connecting to it through curiosity. I'm listening to it. My favorite question to ask my body when I feel a sensation is, what does the sensation want to do with my body? It's not, where does this come from? What's the emotion attached to it? I go there too. But my first initial thing now is, how does it want to move my body? And then I just listen. I surrender to the reality and the nature of my body's way. And by doing so, I build capacity. I repair. I pause. And then I have more of myself because I've listened to my body and I build a trust. So then when a sensation of depression comes in, I'm not shackled with dread or fear because I'm projecting this concept we have of depression. Instead, I'm like, oh, hey, I remember you. We had a lovely nap the other day together. Come on in. And we sit down and we connect. So take a moment to hear this, and even more so, take a moment to feel this. Notice right now, where in your body do you feel a sensation that you tend to judge? Whether it's depression, anxiety, fear, jealousy, rage, whatever it is, where is this thing I judge? Let's take the concept and meaning away and just look at it biologically. What does it want to do? How does it want to move my body? What does it want to do with my body? And just take a moment to notice that. You might get a mental image. You might get a gesture, like punching. You might get a very clear voice in your mind that says, rest. There's so many ways that the body will talk to us. But just see what comes up to answer your question to your own body. The question being, what does my body want to do with this sensation? And for some of you, turning it in a different direction, what does this sensation want to do with my body? And unless it's harming somebody else or yourself, see what it's like to indulge in it. If there's an idea of self-harm or harming someone else, you know, we don't want to act that out, because harming ourselves and someone else is actually another coping or self-soothing method. It's not even a connection or a relation to, right? It's reactive. I don't judge it, but it's reactive. Introspective and related would be, okay, how does it want to move my body? How do I want to connect and fall into this? A body that wants to heal or a body that wants to feel safe doesn't want to create harm for themselves or anyone else. It's counterproductive for survival. And that's how we know it's reactive. It's not actually building the capacity for the body. So see where this sits with you. See what parts of you resonate with this. And I'm just happy you joined me today for this short discussion around depression and sensations and learning how to relate and connect to your body instead of judging and shaming and bypassing the sensations out of habit. Because very few of us grew up with a practice of relating to these parts of ourselves. Quite the opposite. Most of us grew up with the practice of judging that part of ourselves. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. My question for you is, where do you feel the episode? Take a breath and just notice, what's your body doing right now? Sit with it. Let it speak to you. And let whatever comes up, come up. And your only job is to listen. For all the wisdom you need is right inside of you. For more information on my work, including my online courses and healing circles, please visit holisticlifenavigation.com. You can also follow me on Instagram and Facebook, where I share weekly philosophies and resources to help you release stress and trauma from your body so that you can live a happier life. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll see you next time.